Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. This is Michelle Manders from Palace of Peace Talk Radio, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Faith Parent Hendrickson, who is in Cary, North Carolina, and the intro ad music is not working for whatever reason. So here we are again with another weekly episode and some other glitches in the background, which we are just basically going in our stride with. So welcome, everyone. And I'm sorry we weren't here last week with this topic. We were dealing with exactly what I'm talking about now, glitches. And we've had some issues with Blog Talk Radio. But as I say, we just roll with the punches, take it in our stride. Here we are today with our topic and to share with you. And Faith here. Hi, Faith. How are you?
Hi, Michelle. Good. How are you? Glad we made it. Huh?
Yes, yes. Just trying to keep a really good sense of humor when all these little things just decide, you know, okay, I'm not working today. I think it's day off day.
Yeah.
So, yes, there we are. Great. So, as we were saying, we were hoping last week to be covering this very interesting topic, but unfortunately, Blog Talk Radio was not cooperating. And as Faith reminded me, Uranus is retrograde, and Uranus, being the higher octave of Mercury, will interfere with technology and internet, and internet connections being one of them. So, happy Uranus retrograde, and happy Venus retrograde, and happy Saturn has gone direct. Yay! That is a huge yay. So what that means is, with Saturn now moving in direct motion, it's an opportunity for us to now start moving forward all the delays and restrictions that we've been having to deal with for quite some time now are easing, and we're just now having to align our attention with the current Venus retrograde, which is helping us to address a different level of challenges, unfinished business, and underlying issues that result in kind of like just messing with our mojo, stealing our happiness and our joy, and also looking at the supersized lower ego aspects of ourself that might still be lurking in the shadows that result in stealing our joy and our happiness and our connection with all the wonderful good things in life. So that's just a little bit of astrological information on that. Faith, would you like to add anything, you would like me to elaborate on that you feel our listeners will benefit from, and your take on where things are at the moment?
Oh, thank you. I noticed the Uranus retrograde, I think a couple of weeks before it actually stationed retrograde. I think you mentioned you did too. And for me, I was bouncing off the walls with energy. I could not sit and focus at all. And what I understand from the modern planets, which you, I have to say, have more experience with, when Uranus goes retrograde, for example, the attributes are supersized. They're not challenged. And that's been my experience. So you might notice your intuition is higher. Your energy is different to manage, as well as technology. My goodness, we now have a new modem, a new wireless extender to our router. It's all these bizarre mechanical different things going on. That was my biggest surprise, as that I felt the most. And with Venus retrograde, you said it, I think, once. I thought you said it very well. It's like really the proper star of your own show. And I think a lot of it has to do with self-love and self-worth. And when a planet goes retrograde, like Venus, you internalize everything. So really going inside and doing a little honest housekeeping as it relates to self-love, self-worth, self-respect, so then that you can project on the outside when she goes direct a different energy, a mm-hmm. different way of being, because in life here, who we are being is a big response, a big result of what we manifest here, whether it's relationships in our families or relationships overall or career. So that's kind of what I like to think about when a planet goes retrograde. It's like that, doing that inside housekeeping. But I thought that was a very well said about supersized lower ego. That's mm-hmm. your Leo, the Venus in Leo. That's a really good point.
Absolutely. And you also made a good point there in terms of the retrograde planet being an inner process. And this is something that more and more people need to embrace with regards to retrogrades. Retrogrades have received a really bad rap because of, you know, Mercury retrograding 3 to 4 times a year, depending on the cycle. And, you know, Mercury's retrograde does wreak a lot of havoc. And it's something that is experienced so often, people have kind of like developed a, oh my God, Mercury's retrograde kind of attitude. And, oh my God, kind of attitude to any planet that goes retrograde. But what I have found as through the years of studying astrology and, you know, going into my own experience of connecting with astrology in my own inner world, it has been shown umpteen times that the retrograde process, as you so beautifully put, is an inner process, which when addressed and completed and the planet goes direct, then only does it become an external process. So even for people who have retrograde planets in their chart, that I've now discovered or realized, because I have a retrograde planet as well, is that retrograde planet is taking us on an internal journey. It's not an external journey. So whatever planet is retrograde in your chart is showing you something internally. It's an internal journey of recognition, learning, understanding, self-love, action, all of that depending on which planet is retrograde and in which constellation it is retrograding in. And when that realization truly gelled within my body, when it moved out of the head intellectual space and into body space, where kind of like it feels like it moves out of the head and falls plop into the heart space, and that's when you really get it on a feeling level, it sets you free, because that retrograde journey is meant to take you deeper within yourself. So with Venus retrograding through Leo at the moment, it is about venturing within yourself and looking at the outdated supersized ego aspects that prevent you from realizing who you truly are. All of the outdated lower ego attachments that blind you to seeing your inner light and being the center of your stage and recognizing that you are the star of your play. Now, I'm almost finished with my newsletter, thanks to the Uranus retrograde and some other things that were happening 2 weeks ago. My entire computer crashed. So there was the newsletter was supposed to be released and all of that. None of that got done. So in amongst all my other work and teaching that, I've now almost finished that. So look out for my Venus retrograde newsletter that should be out by the very latest Friday. I'm hoping sooner than then, but I'm not going to challenge anything out there to kind of like, okay, well, you know, let's see if I can have it out by this afternoon. That ain't going to happen. So I'd rather say Friday, and if you get it sooner, it's a bonus. So, and I've written a lot about the Venus retrograde in there. Also explained around the new project that we're stepping into, and you know, just a little bit of information on our new project, which is Middle East Phase 2. We have as yet, well, as of today, not released any of the public channelings yet. The group, to the first group channeling has been conducted, which is for the core group alone. And that is just because there's very specific information pertaining to the core group people and as such. And what this is doing is now opening inner multidimensional portals and doorways to the expanded and multidimensional aspects of our whole self. So this project is now taking us on the journey that the retrograde Venus is facilitating, which is encouraging us to step into the deepest realms of our heart chakra, the deepest realms of our self-worth, self-love, self-respect, and really ask ourselves, do we honestly and truly believe that we are worthy of our own self-love? How do we go about showing ourselves that we value and respect ourselves? How is it that we show up for ourselves? What is it that we do that ends up betraying our trust in ourselves? How do we betray ourselves and sacrifice our self-love and self-respect because we are so desperate for external recognition, desperate for external acknowledgement of who we are, what we're capable of, because that externalization process then separates us from what is valuable to us. And what is valuable is that we value what is going to enrich our lives. And as a result, Venus is exposing all of these lower vibrational and lower ego aspects that keep on contributing to us betraying our own sense of self-love and proving or keep on showing ourselves that we're not worthy of our own trust or not worthy of respecting whatever it is that is important to us, and instead give in to everyone else's projections and buy into other people's fear and get overwhelmed and bullied into situations that are not right for us, but because an external force happens to wield some kind of magic control over us, we buckle under the pressure and give in. These are the things you need to address now and be, as you said, Faith, totally honest with yourself. It's a case of being brutally honest with yourself, cutting through the bullshit. Stop conning yourself into thinking and believing that you are behaving a certain way and being loving to yourself if you know deep down inside of yourself, you not. If there is a but or an if or an excuse around anything, then you know you are not functioning 100% in the vibration of self-love and self-respect. Recognizing the value of what you have to give, the value of the immensity of love that resides inside of yourself that is to be shared not only with the external world, but first and foremost, shared with yourself. So this Venus retrograde is a powerful gift if people will just stop and listen to the inner promptings of the inner self guiding us to move past the debilitating lower ego attachments, the loud noise that goes on around us, wanting people to see us, the parts that go, hey, listen, I'm here, I'm worth something, listen to me, I have something to offer. And instead, what happens, the disregard or ignoring you continues. And that disregard and ignoring you, or not recognizing your light, or respecting your love, or understanding your soul, is not other people's problem. It's yours, because those external experiences are happening because of the internal experience. So with Venus retrograding through Leo now, she is beckoning to us to go into the underworld of our heart space, into the underworld of our love space, and arrive at the point where we meet our true self. And the Middle East Phase 2 project is embodying a large part of that, where we are now having to meet ourselves at a whole new point in time. We are now being prompted to raise our vibrations to levels where we meet the benevolent beings halfway. And raising our vibration is not limited to making sure that you don't eat sugar anymore, and, you know, not indulging in gossip, and not eating meat anymore. Because that's what most people think raising your vibration is about: being a vegetarian, not hanging out with gossipers, not drinking alcohol, not smoking, all of that's about raising your vibration. That is the superficial physical realm that a lot of people have attached to. But lurking beneath this, and let me tell you, I have met a number of people who are vegetarians, do not have a drop of alcohol passing their lips, do not do anything to harm their physical body as such. But the amount of criticism and judgment that spills out of their lips is like a toxic waste that just poisons everything around them. Because if you eat meat, or you happen to smoke a cigarette, or, you know, you are using, you know, swearing about this or what have you, then your vibration is oh so low. The vibrations that we are now elevating ourselves to is vibrations of love, unconditional love of self and others. It is about connecting into peace, joy, compassion, forgiveness. These are the qualities that count. You can have a person, and let me tell you, Socrates was one of these beings, as is Drukpa Khunli. Now, Drukpa Khunli is one of Kutumi Agrippa's incarnations, and it was a very wild incarnation as such. And many of these grandmaster teachers will fornicate, will drink alcohol, will smoke or take mind-altering substances, just to prove that it is not about what you eat, it is not about what you drink, it is about what you allow into the space of your heart, what you allow to walk through your soul, what you allow to walk through your mind. Those are the things that are important. You can have a bunch of super fit, absolutely pristine in physical health people, but their minds and their heart are a cesspool of absolute rubbish, drama, and lower vibrational energies. And that is what this Venus retrograde is, in a way, getting us to look at. Get over the lower ego issues. Stop projecting blame. Stop judging other people, because when the masters come along and trick you, the last laugh is on you. And at this level of functioning, especially in where the new world is at, the changes that are taking place post 2012, now moving closer and closer to where the turn of the tides happen, where Saturn and Jupiter merge at 0 and 1 degrees of Aquarius, which is then the signal that the full anchoring of the Aquarian age has started, if people are going to be just in their mind and just in the physical body, we do not stand a snowball's hope in hell. So it is about clearing out the clutter of your heart, the clutter of your mind, your soul, your spirit, and getting in touch with what really matters and really counts. What does it matter, a glass of wine, if the person's heart, spirit, mind, and soul is an absolute Garden of Eden? What does it matter if someone is sitting smoking cigarettes, but their energy is one that is filled with unconditional love, compassion, and joy? And this is the fine line of it's almost judgment in a way, but not judgment in the sense of judging, criticizing, and rejecting. It's like the judgment day as such. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here, Faith? Does it make sense to you?
Yeah, yes, very good. It's very important. And actually, it's a very important part of our talk in a little while. So if you tuned in to talk to hear us talk about entities and health and mental disorders, this is a very important part of that. So carry on.
Great. Thank you, Faith. So talking about that as the introduction with the Venus retrograde, and now moving to our topic for today, this will also help you to understand better how entities, dark, sticky, sludgy energy can then become attached and absolutely wreak havoc on a person's life. The abuse of alcohol, as in an alcoholic, the abuse of drugs, as in a regular, daily, all-day user of very dangerous substances, this is completely different to what I just said earlier on, if someone is having a glass of wine or smoking a cigarette or whatever it may be. It's important that you understand the difference here, because one of the things that I have seen in the years that I have been doing this work is that a dark mind is the perfect breeding ground for all kinds of dark energies and dark entities. And unfortunately, society has not been allowed to properly explore these realms that interact with human living as a result of as a result of not wanting to disclose truth to humanity. Now, this is going to take us all the way back to the subjects that we've covered in a number of classes, a number of broadcasts, which is, you know, how the Illuminati has contributed to shutting us up, debilitating us, closing the whole system down. But regardless of that, we are now at a new point in Earth's spiritual history where the disclosures are happening constantly. The truth cannot be concealed anymore. And one thing that I was taught years ago, and I'm going back to 1996 when I first started channeling, one of the things I will never remember, I will never forget, is Kutumi saying, the truth never needs defending because it always exposes itself. And that's what's happening now. So if we can become excited about the fact that these disclosures are now advancing us a new realm of exploration, advancing us new opportunities of connecting with aspects of ourselves that we have not previously tapped into because of the weight of the darkness in our heart, mind, body, soul, all of that, that is going to change the dynamics profoundly. Do you understand that, Faith? Would you like to just add anything before I continue?
No, keep going.
Okay, so when, if you can understand that, and I don't know, Faith, should we give some background on it, or do you think we've covered quite a bit around how these dark energies have controlled and manipulated the game?
Oh, I think it's a good idea, especially where I didn't want to get off that Venus conversation too soon, because as part of the background, you're standing in your power and in your light more powerfully when you know who you are and love yourself. And that's why this time is extremely important, because when you are in that space, that is a natural space of the highest vibration there is love. It's the most powerful energy there is. And that is where peace resides. These beings can't touch you. And there's a really good analogy that I read in a book by Ted Andrews that explains that your chakras are like fans, and imagine little fan blades spinning and whirling, and the faster your vibration that you hold, the faster those fan blades go. So if you can imagine being very depressed, having a lot of issues about self-love, self-worth, because you're not, as women think, thin enough, young enough, pretty enough, whatever the externals are that you're using as the lower ego attaches to, your vibration then becomes low. So think of the fan's blades turning very slowly, and if you approach it with a piece of paper, you can slit through those fan blades that piece of paper. Well, if you're happy, joyful, feeling good about yourself, your chakra little fans are spinning very fast. So that piece of paper can't even get close to that fan, let alone slip through the blades. So under these retrograde planets, and in particular in this case Venus, which is about love and balance, think of justice of the self, are crucial so that we can move into this new world and new life and live in the dreams of our own heaven on earth. But it is all about you and starts within you. And probably one of my biggest passions is helping to explain to people that they're not a victim, and to understand how things work here on earth and the universe is, and the importance of self-love, self-worth is one of the most freeing things I've ever experienced as I've learned it. And I think mostly people don't know how to begin or to love themselves, because through the generations, no one else has, and it's not been handed down or taught to. So is this making sense so far? Is this
absolutely, Faith? Absolutely, because you see, these are the fundamentals when it comes to us choosing, or any person choosing to experience a better quality of life. And this is one of the ways that humanity has kind of like been kept subservient, and that subservience is kind of like executed or kept in place by keeping people dependent on these dense energies. I can't even call them lower vibrational energies, because the level of density, there is no vibration. It's just a dense, solid energy. So that is such an important point, Faith. And the other thing is the general ignorance of the world around us. And that general ignorance is unfortunately what keeps the masses, the multitudes, trapped in those places of darkness. And this is how these negative agendas, negative forces, whatever you wish to call them. That is how they keep the lid on rising out of those debilitating places. So perhaps the most important thing for people to do in order to understand entities and mental and health disorders and how they all fit together is firstly to expand the mind, or just allow the lower ego to just step back and entertain the concept of other dimensions being an absolute reality, being an absolute fact. And the reason why I'm saying that is because there are a lot of people who are following some kind of alternative pathway, but are only believing in the energies on a surface level. So the deeper core aspects of our imprinting that lies on a subconscious and unconscious level for a lot of people does not allow them to fully grasp the fact that what they like to think they believe, they actually don't believe yet, because there hasn't really been any proof. You know, how often do we hear of angels physically manifesting, or ascended masters physically manifesting, and the benevolent beings arriving and showing themselves? So this is what creates this kind of vacillation in terms of, is it real or isn't it real? But then what is disregarded are the hundreds of thousands of documented accounts over decades of these kinds of experiences that have happened. Now, where we stand now, I'm hoping that with these, the number of disclosures that are happening, that more and more people can now really feel within themselves the deeper connection, or the deeper belief that there is so much more to what we see physically. Now, this is very, very important, because that will then help people understand how entities and negative attachments lead to the disintegration of the mental body or the physical health as such. So, grasping the idea of an astral world, a plane that is not visible to the physical eye, it is a I'm trying to think of a nice way to describe it. So imagine there's a building, and you enter the building on the ground floor. And this ground floor is huge. It's got everything there that you could imagine. It's got everything there that you could imagine, basically. And because it's got everything there, you pay much attention to the fact that there's an elevator or a flight of stairs leading to a level or a floor beneath you, or to a level above you. So this is the distraction that happened. And part of that distraction has been the attachment to false power, the attachment to externals, like Faith was describing earlier on. So you've got to look a certain way. You've got to have a certain body shape. You need to have X amount of dollars or euros or whatever it is in the bank account. You need to dress a certain way. Everything is an external, fickle illusion that is being created by forces focused specifically on keeping you distracted. Do you understand that so far, Faith? Does that make sense so far?
Yes, it does. But I understand how it works.
Exactly. So what's happening is, Faith, is most people are kind of like still exploring the ground floor. They've walked into the building, everything is there. Very few have actually taken the elevator to the floor below or to the floors above. And until you actually climb into the elevator and go upstairs or go downstairs, you are not going to know what is above you or beneath you, just in this analogy that I'm giving now. So that is something that all of us need to seriously ponder, because how willing are you to truly come to understand the other dimensions? How ready are you truly to meet yourself in a new place and new space? And these are important questions, because if you truly want to understand how these entities function, you need to at least have grasped a certain understanding or awareness, rather, of these other dimensions that are invisible to the human eye, but are absolutely affecting us all the time. So if you look at the structure of the body, the physical body, mental, emotional, causal, and etc., all the subtle bodies, those subtle bodies have an effect on what we are experiencing physically. The physical body is the last place that things manifest. So it comes through the subtle bodies all the way down until eventually it manifests in the physical reality. So understand the astral plane and how the astral plane is kind of like this ground floor that, I beg your pardon, the physical is this ground floor. Then there is the floor above that or beneath it. It doesn't matter whichever way you want to look at it. And let's call that floor the astral plane. And in the astral plane are all these energies that have been dumped. It's kind of like the garbage area of the mind, of dimensions. I'm trying to explain it in as simple terms as possible. So, Faith, if I'm not getting it across simply, please just interject and summarize for me. Okay. Now, the astral body is connected into the mental plane as well. And it is connected to the emotional self as well. Because think of it, we can have a mental thought. That mental thought then triggers an emotional response. Or an emotional response to something then triggers a memory or something on a mental level. So these dynamics are connecting in all the time, but we do not analyze the process as being, okay, that has been triggered from the astral plane. This is a point of reference from the past that's no longer applicable, so I can release that. We don't think that way, which is in actual fact the direction that we are headed, or that we should be in to a degree at this point, because it is about becoming more consciously aware of how these subtle energies impact us. So when, for instance, there is some kind of trigger and it brings up a fear, we observe the fear in that moment. And like I said, okay, this is reacting to a reference point from my past. It is not necessarily applicable anymore. It is not the reality anymore. It is a cellular imprint reacting to this reference point that appears familiar, but it's false. It's a false evidence appearing real. I can move it out of my space and I can move forward. So this is how we are being encouraged to become the vanguards of this amazing journey. doing things completely differently, where the level of conscious awareness of what is unfolding and transpiring around us is so important, because this is where we begin recognizing how these infiltrative energies just pop up everywhere, triggering subliminal and subconscious and unconscious responses, which then automatically are designed to throw us back, to flip us back into old fears, into old knee-jerk reactions, constantly trying to get us to reattach to the old world debilitating reference points. Now, as we move forward, all those old points of reference are falling away and have fallen away, because we are working on co-creating a completely different reality. And we have every single right to do this. We have stood up as a global community of light workers and light warriors, and we have commanded through the light of our soul to bring an end to what the dark agenda has done. And this is what's happening. This is Mother Earth's destiny. We were destined to rise up and stand in our light in order for these malefic forces to lose their power. And I mean, if we just think of some of the verses in the Bible, and I am by no means a Bible connoisseur or know everything about the Bible, but I know enough to feel safe in the knowing that certain messages were given in the Holy Bible, which are echoed through a number of other spiritual teachings. And the one that stands out the most is that the meek shall inherit the earth. Become like a child in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. So being meek, or, you know, becoming like a child, has got nothing to do with a lack of power or being weak. We need to understand that these energies are reflecting deeper meanings. And it is not just a surface thing of becoming meek in order to inherit the earth. What does that mean? It means completely freeing ourselves of all of the warlike energies that are inside of us, that are reflected in the external world as the darkness and the wars that we experience. Because going back now to the astral plane, where all of these other energies lurk, they thrive on negative energy. Every single form of negative energy that you can think of, they thrive on. And the astral plane is also the plane where emotions are stored. And this means that a lot of the times the collective emotions that are triggered are not individual in relation to personal experiences. This is often how mass fear is triggered, mass anger, whatever it may be. There are energies that are triggered through the astral plane, which then communicates to the false emotions that resemble experiences that we've had before, and then that evokes the anger or the fear or the resentment, the disappointment, whatever it may be. And as long as those energies are kept alive, these astral entities and entities of all kind have a source of energy or a source of life that they feed off of. Faith, does that make sense? Have I explained it correctly?
Yes. So would you agree that perhaps consider it like you've got the earth and then like a belt, almost like if you can imagine an atmosphere, but it isn't, of a different communication system. Like you're going to find it as the gateway perhaps between leaving here and what we've been taught is heaven. So it's this dimension that holds all that is negative, that isn't dead, that isn't alive, kind of a thing, as well as memories, thoughts, and those things. People
absolutely
who passed and are lost, and all of this communicates with you unknowingly.
Yes. Absolutely, unknowingly. And actually, you've mentioned, you said something there, you know, the death process, because often what happens, and I'm just jumping the gun a little bit here because you brought that up so that I don't forget it, is one of the things that happens when there can be an entity attachment, or let's say entity interference, is when the body separates, when the physical body separates at death, and that fragmentation process takes place, it's kind of like the shattering of that astral body at the time of death. Now, when the astral body shatters, and think of it, let's say your grandmother dies, and her astral body shatters as she moves from the physical realm, but that astral body, all those fragments contain all her thoughts, her emotions, all of that astral stuff. Now, if there is people that are in the vicinity, let's say in the family, and there is someone who is attached to a similar negative imprint, fragments of the grandmother's astral body then attaches to the living person, because that astral fragment is going to seek a source of sustenance. And this is why, this is kind of like the point I'm trying to make in a very long-winded way, is that if we are carrying all these heavy negative astral energies around us, think of how many people are dying on a daily basis, just as an example. Yeah. Now, all those astral bodies are fragmenting at the point of death. Those fragments in the astral plane are then going to naturally hook onto its equivalent. So this is also, we could say, another aspect of hauntings, where a person is so attached to the physical reality that the fragmented aspect of the astral body that is most connected to whatever that might have been, be it a place, be it a person, then can manifest as a haunting, but is not so much a ghost haunting it, rather than it being a residual haunting. Do you understand the difference between haunting and residual haunting, Faith? I think you do.
I think what you're saying is it's more energetic than it is the person.
Yes. Now, also with the residual haunting, you can have visions, you could see things. That is the imprint, the astral imprint of the fragmented energy attached to a place or a person.
So it's like taking a picture and it's the negative.
And yes, and it kind of like just plays over and yes.
Yeah.
And that can be seen. Some people can see it. So they might hear voices, hear footsteps, or have visions of, you know, someone passing through a wall, or hear children playing around, or see a child run up the stairs, or, you know, seeing flashes of a pet running around. Those are also residual hauntings. But to actually understand the difference between a real haunting, entity invasion, poltergeist, and residual haunting needs to then be determined at the actual site of the event. I'm just giving examples here. Does that make sense, Faith?
Yes, very, very well explained. Thank you.
Okay, so going back to these fragments. Now, if we are looking at the entire world, what do they say? There's 7.2 billion people on the earth at the moment, give or take. And there are people dying every day. I'm not too sure of the stats of how often. I know there's a new soul born every minute. I'm not sure what the death stats are. But now think of those fragmenting astral bodies. And the majority of those fragmenting astral bodies are filled with the lower vibrational energies or these denser energies. And those continue to feed the astral plane as long as there is sufficient sources of sustenance in this realm to keep that realm alive. You understand?
Yes. So the
Okay.
more we are healthy, the less we feed them.
There you go. And that is the baseline of it. So it's not about physical health alone. Although, let me quickly add this, physical health is imperative because we need our physical body to be able to support us and hold us so that we can complete this journey. But it is not only about physical health, mental health, emotional health, spiritual health. All of these go hand in hand and are necessary. So, how are entities and mental or health disorders connected? I've just given you a full, detailed description on how they are connected. So, bearing in mind, do not limit your vision or your understanding of energy to the physical realm. There are so many levels, so many dimensions that most human beings have not even ventured into understanding. And once I think more people do that, it is going to shed a huge amount of light on how dramatically people's heart and minds need to change in order to restore health to everyone on earth. Look, we're not going to get to everyone. Everyone has got their journey, but obviously we are going for critical mass. And as long as critical mass continues moving towards understanding and grasping the true origin of everything, the greater our chances of moving beyond this. So does that all make sense so far, Faith? Is there anything you would like to add or comment on?
If it's all right, I'd like to just mention that the attachments of hauntings or entities, it's extremely important to understand, as Michelle said earlier, that it will find a match. So, your levels and where you are emotionally and mentally is a direct relation to the experiences that you will have with whatever beings there are. So what I have found in my years of practice is whether it's someone that did not go into the light and was stuck in the astral plane, or a demon, they had something in common emotionally and mentally with the person who was having the experience. Sometimes these entities are karmic and you come into this life with them, but a lot of times the experiences I've had are kind of oddball ones. It could be, like one woman I know had a particular being that pretended to be her own mother, and she would shape shift and dream state and pretend to be this woman's mother. And the behavior was not at all like the mother, but the person who was stuck in that plane liked the energy of the client I was talking to. They had a lot in common, And that fear, worry, concern was the energy she was feeding off of, and it kept her in that plane. And so the best thing to do is to understand what that entity might want, do, is, and by understanding it, you actually have a major opportunity of spiritual, emotional, and mental growth. It's an awareness that becomes a lesson that you would not consciously choose. I don't know anybody that would do that because it scares people. But to really understand these dimensions and how it works, like Michelle has painstakingly described, really brings in the logic, which to me, knowledge is power, so I can shift my perspective and there be more peaceful, which is where love and the higher energies reside. Now, when you talk about the meek shall inherit the earth, that's, quote, the meek power. And so in that space and in compassion, we explained to this woman who was stuck and admitted it wasn't the mother, that now that we've had the client has the awareness of what created the attachment, we helped her go into the light. And so not only was that an amazing opportunity for the client, but it helped her to understand how things work and to not have that fear and to be more of an observer. And when you have less fear, you really allow more room in your heart and in your mind for truth and trust and those higher vibrations. So really knowing yourself, where your issues are, really working on self-love, self-worth, you're kicking these beings off the planet and helping address those who are lost. So it's not just these beings from other worlds who reside there that want to strip this planet and its people of its beauty and its assets for its own greedy use, because energy is money to them. But it's helping clean that area up that the angelic host is also helping us do. But don't underestimate that power of love. There is nothing more powerful, period. And it really starts inside of yourself, and it will help you address these issues, which is the point of this show today. So if you don't know how to address or where to begin self-love and self-worth, Michelle posted on Facebook a while ago under Pearls of Wisdom from Kuthumi Agrippa's Library of Questions and Answers. I don't know if you remember this or not, but he explained mm-hmm. in November 2006. I mean, this is not new news. This is not new stuff. It's just I feel the importance of it and doing it will become, it's critical as we get to that 2020 mark and the Aquarius being anchored. But he talked about the fact that we don't know how to do it because nobody's known how to do it for a very long time. So consider yourself in a very powerful position to discover a means to love yourself in a way that you desire it and through a journey of discovery. And then that way, when you do it, it really helps empower others to do the same. And believe it or not, it's the same tactic that I use in my client sessions is you've got to begin by writing down all of your fears, no matter how little they are, and then write down what you're afraid of and in the form of what ifs. So if you're afraid of success, write down why. If you're afraid of failure, make a note of every reason why you're afraid of failing and what you're afraid of failing at. Just write down all your fears of anything you remember that's influenced your life, including your mother, your father, teachers, peers, siblings, anyone and everyone that's had an impact on your life. It will take some time, but trust me, it's worth it. And once you've spent some time doing that, you'll start to realize that you can like categorize things as you look at this mess, and you can see how out of control you are. And really, that's the only thing we have control over is ourselves and the level at which we vibrate. So he even suggests in this Pearls of Wisdom, to carry a notebook with you, and every time you remember something, just write it down, because this is creating this foundation from which to work. And you can choose one day or one day a week or during a week to address everything inside of you. And even if it's overwhelming, just take a baby step or do something where you're categorizing it, because making this choice to take it head on is everything. It's really understanding. It's kind of like putting a face to your fear and putting your hands on that fear and on that face and saying, what are you here to teach me? What do I need to do before I can let you go? And then you can write down what comes to mind, even if it sounds ridiculous. All of this is very powerful, and it's part of the mental process, and it helps bring up things in the subconscious and unconscious parts of yourself that, trust me, you will not know unless you start writing it down. Doing this is extremely powerful while Venus is in retrograde. And a lot of times, if you can't sleep at night, excuse me, keep that notebook by your bed and write it down. One of the things I did way back in 2005 when I started to do this inner work for myself was I made myself a time each day to worry. Between the hours. And that was when I was working full-time at a job in corporate America. I made an appointment with myself at like 2 o'clock, and I said, this is the time I'm only allowed to worry, just so I could get my arms around it. And all of this relates to this topic today. This is everything on how to manage these things so the astral plane isn't running your life, okay? And I took out that list the first time I did it, and I think I did an audible, oh my God, this is awful. What have I been doing to myself in my office? It was just so amazing. I mean, can you imagine what those pages looked like? It was absolutely, mm-hmm. You know, but you need to have this structure, and you can do it, okay? But it will reveal to you levels and things that only seeing it for yourself, the experience, can describe. And then what I did was I started to put things in categories so I could see what the Sam Hill I was worrying about, and particularly the cause of it. And I will tell you, it always has to do with lack of something. And if mm-hmm. you have aberration of a lack of self-love and self-worth, that is a filter, I promise you, that will distort everything and how you see things. There is nothing more important than really understanding that. It is the most, it affects who you're being, how you handle things, how you respond to things. And I'm not saying I've got it all figured out and I'm in 100% working mode, but I guarantee you I am at 100% understanding how I work. And I may not always handle things in the best way that maybe I would like to, but I guarantee you I will reflect on it and I will learn from it. And I have shed so much in being able to stand more in my light. I have never known peace and self-love and self-worth and being in my light more now than even 2 weeks ago. It is a process that never ends, but it's the most beautiful, appropriate, quote, addiction, if you can have that oxymoron, that I've ever experienced. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is probably my biggest passion about helping people understand you're not the victim you've been taught to think you are. And those astral plane energies are counting on you thinking you are not empowered, victimless, and whatever those mental things that go in your mind, I'm not good enough, I'm not loved enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not smart enough, whatever those things are, they are going to increase that for you, so you stay trapped in it. So understanding, as Michelle said, the dimensions is one of the most important things, and the problem is, as we've talked about in other shows, is there are so many things on television and in the on the internet and wherever you can see things that teach you that you will never be able to be more powerful than them with these awful things, that people really don't want to hear it. I know people who are angry, who are light workers, because they don't feel heard. And it's because, for the most part, the people they're talking to aren't ready to go there. So I hope this platform is helping in many ways, many people, and where they are in their journey, excuse me, to understand that we are all going to do this when it's the time that's best for us, and to just focus on yourself, find like-minded people, find programs like this to help you understand what people aren't talking about because they don't want to, they're afraid of it, they think they're going to create more of it. Whatever the illusion is, take your life back. Understand this is the most important time for you to know yourself. You know, I use the same lines you mentioned today, Michelle, as usual. We're on the same page about the meek shall inherit the earth. Well, it's not a weak, it's the meek. And there's nothing more powerful mm-hmm. than seeing and hearing someone who's calm and has an idea of the bigger picture. And then you two can co-create a whole new way using all solutions you never would have had access to before because you weren't in that space of where the solutions are. So I hope this is tying some things together and explaining things a little better, maybe opening up other discussions, but I want to stick with this important topic about mental illness, health disorders, and entities. But that's important information.
Faith, and you know, this goes so much deeper and so much broader than most people actually realize, because as well, most people expect entities to look like demons and little monsters that, you know, we've seen TV and that, but these entities may not necessarily appear human-like or even monster-like. It's infinite in their manifestations, because I think what will also help a lot of people is if you look at entities as being fragments of energy that has broken off containing these imprints. And these fragmented imprints search out whatever it is that can sustain it, like I was explaining earlier. So I'm just creating this image for the sake of today's topic and hopefully trying to expand your terms of what entities are and how they connect. So a fragmented image, in other words, entity, that maybe holds an imprint of what's a good example? That holds an imprint of alcoholism, let's say, for instance. So this alcohol imprinted fragment then goes to seek some place that it can connect onto, and happens to find a host, and suddenly, or perhaps maybe not so suddenly, the person that this fragment has attached onto develops a craving for alcohol and starts drinking copious amounts of alcohol and doesn't understand how this could be happening. And it's not like they have been an alcoholic throughout their life, or you know, a sex addict or a drug addict or whatever it is. Now, I'm giving a much bigger picture in terms of these entities' impact, not just on mental disorders, but health disorders where suddenly there is cravings for physical substances. There are cravings for emotional and mental disharmony and drama, because that is what the front is hardwired to experience. And these fragments or entities, because they are formed and part of the astral plane where all these emotions and thoughts exist, it has a life force. It is a being as such, but is still seeking a familiar energy for it to thrive on or to keep alive. Does that make sense, Faith?
Yes, this is very well explained. Keep going.
Okay. So if we are continuing falling to the lower ego, in other words, guilt, shame, self-hate, resentment, lack of forgiveness, disillusionment, bitterness. I mean, we can go on here for ages with the list of, if we are attached to those energies, these animated fragments are going to find a place to attach very easily. So this takes us back to the more we work into our own issues, lower issues, the more we self-examine, the more we go in terms of getting to the core of our inner mechanisms, the less vulnerable we become, the less of a happy meal we look like, and there is no longer any kind of magnetic frequency that attunes us to that astral plane where these fragments then seek out hosts. The other thing which I also want to just quickly bring is some people, their energy is just so open. And here we can also look at astrological influences, where if you look at a person's astrological blueprint, because of the aspects between certain planets, where these planets are stationed, this can also lead to inherited mental disorder or inherited power or vulnerability. So there's many dimensions to this. We are just scratching the surface here, and I want to make that very clear. There are multi dimensions to the subject, but I'm trying to get across basics as clearly as possible, obviously with Faith's help here, so that we can understand that there is a way to build our immunity so that fragmented energy entities cannot seek our out. And the key aspect of that, as you said, Faith, is love. And if you think of these fragmented energies seeking host and finding a host, because they feed off of that energy, they are going to ensure that there is a sufficient source to keep that that flow alive. So what happens to many people with entity attachments, it is like a constant flow of drama and loss and lack and health issues, addictions, all kinds. And if you have been listening to the show, if there's anything that says to you that perhaps there is an entity attachment, let's call it a fragment attachment, so that it doesn't sound so daunting and quite fearful. If you have kind of inclination that perhaps there is a fragment attachment, then I would encourage you to look a little deeper into this and let your intuition also guide you, because you know, I'm telling you now, you know, there might be parts of yourself that are in severe denial because this fragment doesn't want you to get to the bottom of the story or to the bottom of the issue. And if things are constantly going wrong in your life, if you are having one health issue after the next, or there are issues that you cannot get to the bottom of, consider that this might be an issue. Now, fragment attachments or attachments are actually very common. Now, based on what I've already explained in terms of the astral plane and these fragmentations, these energies, out sources of sustenance, it can kind of like just calm you down to the fact that most people, on average, either have a fragment attachment or have had multiple fragment attachments and have released them because they have chosen to work on themselves, you know, radiation. This is what we are now working towards releasing, so that it isn't the norm of having these fragment attachments all the time. It is something that was a problem which is no longer. So when it comes to recognizing or identifying these things, I would suggest that it's better for you to discern that for yourself rather than giving your power away, going to a healer or whatever it is, and ask them if you have entity attached. That is something that you need to connect with yourself, because the moment you connect with the fact that there might be a fragment attachment and you start looking into it, it's going to give you clues that it's there. Let's go, for instance, now, somebody who is drinking heavily that has not previously been a heavy drinker, and you connect and you think to yourself, I think there's a fragment attachment here. And you just start paying attention to that fragment attachment. You know, perhaps this is why, you know, there's this drinking problem. I never used to be a big drinker, but now I crave alcohol regularly. And then suddenly that craving for alcohol just like supersizes. Or, you know, I'm just using that as an example. It could be 101 different things. That is just another sure sign is a fragment attachment. Then what you can start doing is communicating to that fragment attachment in setting the boundary that you have recognized this attachment. Then you can perhaps work with a reputable, and I mean reputable, shaman or healer who specializes in helping to safely dislodge these fragment and entity attachments. If you don't know of anyone, we do have people in the Palace of Peace community very good at it. And one of them is our guardian, Heidi Trolle-Bolton. I think I got it right, Heidi, the surname. There is also another light worker, Sage Emery. You can email us and we will give you their contact details. And then Lena Hochland, I think is the correct pronunciation of her surname. These are just three of the very powerful light warriors we have working with Palace of Peace, collaborating with us. They are permanent guardians in our projects, have been working full in these projects for almost 3 years. November, it'll be 3 years. These ladies have done a profound amount of inner work in terms of that. And Faith, this is also something that you do, and I'll leave you to explain to our listeners how you do it. But if you are wanting a safe place to work with those things, please email either myself or Faith. I can be reached on michelle.palaceofpeace@gmail.com. Faith, what is your email address?
faith@faithparent.net. And I'll tell you that the number one thing that I do is explain how things work. Because otherwise, if you don't understand this on some level, it's just going to repeat. So And this is a great webinar to refer people to, actually, this Blog Talk Radio program. So continue.
Okay, so there's these, you know, email us if you, you know, would like to get hold of either Lena, Sage, or Heidi, and then, of course, to get hold of Faith directly. And each person has their own specific way of working with these different aspects of fragment attachments. Just feel for yourself where your intuition takes you. The other thing to do is when you feel that perhaps there is a fragment attached, take some time to try and connect with what it looks like, what it wants. Why does it want you specifically? What need are you fulfilling? And that in itself is going to be such a lightning process in terms of gaining an even deeper understanding as to how these fragments can wreak havoc on a mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical level. And gosh, we don't even have enough time to go into the deeper aspects of this. So I'm going to kind of like leave it at that before I start going off on another tangent. But if you are willing to explore it a little deeper to connect and see if your sense of this fragment attachment is real, please know that the minute you recognize it and you believe that there is something there, do not try and release the energy on your own. You need to work with someone who can facilitate the process. And even if it's just someone holding the energy for you while you address this fragment and then support in releasing these energies, you will be amazed at how your life changes. People who have had entities dislodged and fragments removed, health issues can clear up almost instantaneously. Addictions disappear instantaneously. I mean, this is how insidious and at times incestuous these energies can be, because in a lot of cases, people are, I'm going to put possessed in inverted commas, by these fragments that are connected to close family. Women who have miscarried and aborted babies can be possessed by the fragments of their unborn babies, and because of that pain and sorrow, are then haunted by the fragment of that fetus being aborted, and that could then take them on a whole spiral of guilt, depression, whatever it may be. So it is so fine and so detailed in terms of what it can be, how it can be. Sexual promiscuity combined with drug addiction or alcohol abuse is a festival for entities and fragmented energies. So if you look at it in that sense and you see how, you know, these lower dense energies, these lower vibrational places where just all of these low base things happen, that is the smorgasbord of different lower aspects that then lure broken souls, lost souls, into those dungeons of darkness. That is where the dark then absolutely destroys them. So I trust that I have covered sufficient information with your assistance, Faith, and thank you for your contribution as well to at least help our listeners understand the connection. There's just so much. I was fooling myself to think that we could cover it in 90 minutes. I beg your pardon. Yes, in 90 minutes. So if any of you would like to know more or would like to like us to focus on a specific aspect of this, please email us on the same address we gave out earlier on. And we've got 5 minutes left, Faith. I would like to hand over the wrap-up to you so you could also just give your little contribution there to our listeners.
I think it's important that people not feel like they have to be perfect to avoid this scenario, or they feel guilty. That is a waste of your time and energy. All this is, think of it as understanding how life works here on Earth school as spiritual beings who came here in human form. None of this was meant to do you in or to feel ashamed, which is, all the things that the dark wants us to stay trapped in believing, and it can be very isolating. And don't think it's because you have to be perfect. If you can just focus at the first, because sometimes feeling self-love and self-worth is overwhelming to people because they're not used to it. I think every one of us has felt peace, true peace, at some point in our lives. And even if it's going outdoors and sitting next to some water or a beautiful space, if you can just remember that that feeling is what you want to feel and grow from. That's where love is. Peace is, think of light as order and peace. So that's probably the best and easiest way to look at this. So you can just understand that these are all ways that we're able to identify where love may not be or light may not be. It's not that just really simplify it and don't judge and criticize yourself for it at all. Come away from this with a lot of information and knowledge wherever you are in your life, if this affects you or not, or you're a healer or whatever, you know someone who's suffering. I think it's just very important to understand this, be educated on it. The best thing you can do is lead your own life by example and finding peace, finding love inside of yourself, and let's kind of kick beings off the planet by not feeding and being their food source. So that's my wrap up.
Absolutely. Thank you, Faith. And I think it's very important what you've mentioned there about, not getting attached to guilt or becoming absolutely freaked out because, you're going through something really rough and tough, and it's difficult to, keep your focus on positive things. Oh my God, now there's going to be all sorts of fragments that are going to attach to me. Just calm down, as Faith has said, and acknowledge that as long as you are doing your best and everything in your power to truly rise above the things that have debilitated you in the past, you are already achieving so much more than the people out there who are completely ignorant and oblivious to what is causing all the drama and ill health in their life. And one of the reasons why so many misdiagnosed people are not receiving the support that they need is because of how far across the board this level of ignorance actually is woven into the mentality of society. So the more of us who connect with the truth of these different dimensions through self-exploration, through making a conscious choice to find the truth, to connect with the of truth, the stronger we are going to feel standing in our power as a collective community of people who have chosen to rise above. And because we understand, we're going to stand strong, our conviction is going to be strong, and eventually the light will go on for a lot more people. So do your research, go and study, explore yourself. If you are dealing with difficult issues, addictions, health problems, maybe look a little deeper. If who have diseases, disorders of all sorts, consider that perhaps there might be some kind of fragment attached. And if you see the person is perhaps open to it, perhaps speaking to them about it or guiding them here to our show today and what we're talking about. Remember, knowledge is power. Self-knowledge is self-power. And these are the things that we need to nurture and harness. So thank you for taking the time to listen to our talk today. It was a lot of information. And thank you, Faith, for always co-hosting with me and adding your dimension of understanding. I really enjoy that. And as I say, if there's anything else you focus on, let us know. And share it with everyone. This is a free platform, and our aim is to educate and inspire as many people as possible as a result of what we have experienced personally and how we've supported and helped other people. So thank you, listeners. Thank you, Faith. Had a wonderful evening, afternoon, morning, wherever it is you are and whatever time it may be. Thank you so much, Faith, and thank you to everyone.
Thank you so much, Michelle, and to everyone. This is a very important topic. Have a great rest of your day and week.
You too. Thank you, Faith. Bye.
Bye.